Hey there, good morning. Welcome to Thursday's Beat Breakfast. It's just after 7 and it's Niall and Show and Killian with you.
Ah, oh, good morning to you. August 29th. How are we?
Good. We are very Yay. Good. It's looking like a bright morning out there. And for us and maybe other people, it's payday after 5 weeks.
Anybody else just like check your bank account so you could look at all that
Eat
money?
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah. 11 o'clock last night before I hit the bed.
Was it in?
It was in, yeah.
Oh, that's early, isn't it?
I would have hit the 24-hour Tesco. Anyway, come here. You've had quite a night.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Tesco, right? So I went to bed very early last night. I was in bed for 8 o'clock.
Wow.
And I woke up with the start, and I'll show you what time I woke up at because I sent myself a note because I didn't want to forget this nugget. I had a dream between 11 o'clock. So 23:04, right? Mm. Here's what I've written in my notes. Mark McCabe, supermarket, singing at customers.
Okay.
In my dream last night, this is not a word of a lie, right? He was at the kind of like main kind of customer service section. Mark McCabe was DJing. Every time somebody bought something, so brings a cocoa noodles up to the counter, he goes, yeah, yeah, funky, yeah.
Did you eat cheese before bed last night or what happened?
Bringing up a Brennan slice pan. Yeah, yeah, funky, funky, yeah. Can you imagine that happened every time you went into Tesco?
I'd love it.
I don't know what Mark McCabe is up to, but I think there's some kind of like opening in that. I didn't eat cheese. I ate a 99 with sprinkles.
Okay.
Okay, good morning.
That must be it. All right, good morning to you. It is Thursday's Beat Breakfast. It's Niall, Show and Killian. On the way this morning, we've got your Beat the Bomb. We've also got a chance to win with Mars Builders Providers and your final dilemma of the week. So stay with us. Woo! We're the crack.
Good morning.
All right, we got Beat the Bomb on the way shortly. But first, the saga continues.
Oh, lads.
It's been quite a year, hasn't it?
It's been quite a 2 years.
Yeah.
I think it's 2 years now that I've had run-ins with cars and none of it my own fault, just a victim of circumstance. Why did you make a face?
I don't know. It seems unbelievable that so many bad car things can happen to one person in a short amount of time.
Well, believe it. Here I am, standing in the corner. I tell you, you were off last week and I gave Killian the update of my mini Countryman who's been through the mill and is now in Dublin waiting for two parts. It's got two major engine faults. That's all I know. I didn't really even want to know the intricate detail of it. I was just like, okay, take it off. Anyway, your man that I bought the car off, luckily it was in warranty, so I'm entitled to get it repaired. But in the meantime, he is, what we say, gifted me with the replacement car.
Okay.
So as I shared this with the guys last night, my Mini will be a month at least waiting for those parts. So I know there was somebody on to me, I think it was George, that said, get rid of it. They're terrible cars. I will not be taken down like this. It will take a lot more than this for me to say goodbye to that beloved Countryman who I had for less than 3 months. I'm not giving up on it, George. The garage offered me a replacement car and it is a 2012 Vauxhall Astra, silver blue. Why are you laughing?
That's just the way you're describing it. Show picked me up this morning and I had awful visions of the way she described it, but when I came out it looked alright,
sounds like the old guy parked up beside
there's a loud owl engine now. I could hear it in the kitchen outside running, but
as the salesman said to me on the phone on Friday, it's not a very you car, Shona. He's met me once, lads.
Okay.
He was right. It has moss grown out the side of the window, the alloys are scratched, you know, it looks like
they're not alloys. Their hubcaps, just cable hubcaps tied onto them. I had a look at them this morning when I was
it gets worse
getting out of the car.
At least you have four hubcaps on this one. Yeah. Not like the last one.
Oh, you're talking about the Dacia.
The Dacia
the duster.
Only had three
oh,
hubcaps.
Remember the duster. Oh god, yeah. Thanks for bringing that back up to me. Anyway, it has moss growing out the windows, the side. Yeah, the hubcaps are screwed. I drove it down from Dublin on Saturday. So Tom drove me up in his van and I drove back. And by the time I had driven down the road and got to Coins Cross, we were stopping for a Burger King. I had a Whopper, double Whopper, by the way. The engine warning light had come on.
Right.
I said, I've seen that baby before.
We are acquainted.
I saw that on my Countryman. I knew it well. By the time I hit Wexford, there was smoke blowing out of the exhaust. And I just think it's official. I am jinxed when it comes to cars. I don't...
There's actual audio footage of you leaving Dublin on Friday in your new Vauxhall Astra 2012.
Just for anybody that's worried about me, I did.
That's what it sounded like outside my house this morning.
For anybody that's worried, I did actually ring the guy to tell him about the warning engine light, and he said it's a programming issue. Yeah, right.
No, at the courses and like Vauxhall and Opel do have that warning light that comes on the whole time. I don't think I've met anyone who hasn't had that engine warning light.
Really?
Vauxhall or Opel. Right.
And what about the smoke?
Yeah,
that's a good turn.
Get that checked.
So, yeah. What are you saying here?
I'm jinxed. You're jinxed. I'm car jinxed.
You're car jinxed.
Yeah, I'm a very, like, I feel like I'm, yeah, I
low luck.
Not when it, the last year and a half have been an up and down and inside out, good, bad and ugly, and I feel like I'm jinxed. It's official. So I suppose, like, can anybody top this? Have you had, like, similar car trouble or just trouble in life?
Yeah, are you somebody who maybe feels that there's something in your life just feels a bit jinxed? Like, I was thinking of this, there's people who always feel that they're jinxed when they're going on holidays because they are either late to the airport or they've forgotten a passport or they've forgotten keys or something like that. Is that you? For me, I'm jinxed in the supermarket. Every time I go in. Well, I'm jinxed in the sense of if I want to duck in and get something, I'll always get stuck behind, I'm not going to say the worst people because I've got to be careful here, but I ducked over to the shop last night and there were two small children and they'd got some pocket money and they wanted to spend it all.
Oh, Niall, be kind. Jeez,
it took at least 10 minutes by the time they'd got their cones.
Like that
and
scene
their toppings.
From Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
How much of them?
Yeah. And this just happens to me all the time. I choose the worst queues. I choose, you know, I get stuck behind somebody who, you know, has an issue that's going to take 15 minutes. I just feel I'm jinxed in the supermarket. So what I want to ask you is, where or what do you feel you're jinxed in this morning? Is there some kind of jinx god over there looking over you? And like show with the car, it's one thing after another. If you have any examples for us, 085 102 9103. Wake up in the morning, but I gotta get up and get it. Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
Yeah, go first.
Olivia, good morning, how are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Good. Yeah, we're good, and we're good. Where are you?
I'm just on the way to Loughlinstown for work, but I am after pulling over, so...
Oh, good. Safety first. That's what we like to hear, yeah. And Olivia, what is work, do you mind us asking?
I work with Expo Medical, so that's just working with people who have conditions, health conditions, and their older population, and basically teaching them how to exercise and move.
Oh, fab.
And the goodness for the body.
Oh, do you love it?
Yeah, oh, lovely. Excited, not so long ago, so...
Okay, now, I have an important question for you, Olivia. Bear in mind what we're about to talk about. Are you on time this morning?
I'm going to be 5 minutes before my start.
Well, if you are late, obviously you can blame Beat Breakfast this morning, that's fine. But, like, what is it that you feel you're constantly jinxed with?
Like, it is time, because, like, there could be events where, like, I will be either half an hour early or there could be a smaller event that maybe in the back of my head I'm like, I'll have plenty of time to get ready for that day, and then I'll end up being like 20 or 10 minutes late. Like,
it just never seems to be right.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it could be just like the amount of effort I put in to get ready.
Yeah.
And maybe I just overstep the line, so I just make myself late.
Yeah. Oh, I love your honesty. I know. Sometimes your makeup and the hair doesn't work and you need just an extra bit of time. I get it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's usually the hair for me now.
Is it? Yeah. Niall feels that with his fringe sometimes as well, don't you?
Start all over again.
You do.
Listen, Olivia, we're going to let you go because I'm not going to be blamed for you being late this morning. We got a travel mug on the way to you. A safe journey, okay?
Have a great day, darling.
Perfect.
Cheers. Talk to you later. Bye. Right, let's get to some of the messages. Do you want to start? Adam and Tip, he's on a car buzz like
you. Oh, thanks, Adam. I can top that. I bought a lovely Volkswagen Golf and had it 2 weeks and someone wrote it off on me. And then I had to buy another one and had that 3 months. Then the... Oh, God, am I saying this right? Is this a camshaft? Is that okay to say? Camshaft? Yeah, what is that?
This is some shaft in it.
Keep going. That went, which costs more than the car. So then I had to buy another car, and that one lasted a whole 6 months before somebody wrote off another car on me. So now I have a lovely Golf GTD that I've had for the last 2 months, and hopefully we'll have it for a lot longer. Adam, I need to sit down. I wonder, is it my camshaft that's gone as well? I don't know what's going on with my car.
Sandra was on to us. What are you jinxed at? I'm jinxed at going out for a meal. I always get an annoying person or persons at the next table that has to describe the menu to the person opposite them, explain in detail exactly what's in all the dishes. On holidays, we sat beside a family and the father said to the son, would you like a pizza? And the son said, what's on a pizza? Oh, son, it's got tomato, etc. on a pizza. And then he proceeds to ask the daughter, would she like a pizza? Explaining again, what's on a pizza? Then the mother is walking into the restaurant and he says, do you think mum would like a pizza? At this point, I'm not ordering a pizza. God, Sandra, you really let go there.
Maybe you just need to switch off the like noise around you. Do you know what I mean? I'd love that though. I just love people watching.
I'll do Jenny from Waterford because it's another car one, okay? I can relate to that car issue show. My parents have both passed, and my dad's most recent one, he passed in September 2022, and I now have his car. It's been in the garage about 20 times since then.
Oh,
always one thing after another. 3 months of nothing, and now as of yesterday, she's back in the garage in 2 weeks for two more jobs. So look, it's just a constant pain, and at this stage I need an exorcism. So hopefully I'll win that 200 grand on Friday.
Oh,
we're rooting for
Jenny,
you.
Jenny,
we're rooting for you.
You deserve it. Mark from Wexford, I feel so seen this morning because we got a takeaway on Sunday night. He says, I think I'm jinxed with my takeaway. Every time I get food, something is always missing, or it's cold, or the wrong item, and everybody else is okay. And Mark, I don't mind telling you, they forgot my mint sauce with the poppadoms on Sunday night.
Okay, one more. Aoife was on to us.
Morning, Anjou and Killian. So I'm pretty sure that I'm jinxed with second dates. Ooh. So I'll go on a first date. It'll be brilliant. We'll have a great time. And then I just can't get a second date out of them. And I don't really understand why. And it's always kind of the same, like, vague kind of reason. Like, I'm not really, like, looking for anything. I'm not this, I'm not that. Then why go on the first date? That's my main question. So, yeah, cursed on second, getting a second date. Just can't do it for the life of me. I don't know why. This is Aoife.
Aoife. Can I just say, Aoife is a friend of Beat Breakfast. Aoife regularly voice notes us and messages. There's not, like, you are amazing. Like, I am, I kind of want to take this into my own hands. I honestly do. I want, like,
you can't date her, you're married.
I know I can't date her, but like, I want her to get a second date. Like, she deserves this.
Okay.
Aoife,
okay.
I'm not, like,
we're rooting for you.
We'll talk after, hun. Which I'm not.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Doesn't take much to get you talking. Harry Styles was spotted at Niall Horan's gig in Manchester, and his presence has sent fans into a frenzy. Now, it might not be like the 1D reunion that people were hoping for, but basically
it's a start.
It's an acknowledgement that, you know, we might move forward, we might sit down round table and
like Oasis
consider our options.
I saw this all over Twitter last night. The fans were going absolutely crazy. Harry turned up to the Manchester gig last night with his mam. He brought his mam,
yes, and he was in a private suite.
Yeah,
and it says here he was swaying and jumping at the concert.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, Harry's such a big star. Like, it is a kind of big deal for him to just show up for one of his mates to a gig, you know, that kind of way. And it just shows that obviously he still has
a
huge amount of respect for Niall and his music.
But you're like, I would think that, like, there's lots of people that I...
You think if I got famous, I'd still come to your shows and they don't wear it?
I know it's very touching, Wexford, sorry.
But that's where you shone. That's why I mentioned.
Oh, yeah, well done. The Wexford Arts Centre, maybe.
Yeah.
Would you not still turn up?
If
it was a play.
It depends.
He doesn't do plays.
Yeah. So I just do think it's quite significant. If it was Louis or Liam, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But Harry is, like, worldwide star, and he's fine in time for his mates.
Yeah, he's almost like godlike at this stage, isn't he, Harry Styles? Like, but also Niall Horan, I'm sorry, is like just the nicest guy in the world. I've never met him. I don't know him. I'm telling you, he's the nicest guy in the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's just so lovely.
And his gigs are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. His granny's lovely. I met his granny.
Did you?
Yeah. And his cousin's sure, Bagnallstown.
Oh.
Born and bred.
Oh. They claim everything in Bagnallstown. So anyway, look, if this is the start of conversations towards something, we do not know, but keep your fingers crossed if you're a 1D fan. Now, the other thing I want to briefly mentioned earlier on Beat Breakfast, we decided we were going to try and decide on the song of summer 2024. It's really important. When we look back on this summer, what's the song that soundtracked it for you?
Now, we just want to say that we have upset Killian slightly this morning because there's one song that has like a dance routine and it didn't make the cut. cut because it was a little bit later on. So go on.
It was a brat summer, so I think any Charlie XCX song, Apple would have been a good shout. But look,
Look, Apple would have been in consideration.
It's too late, I think.
I think the brat summer really needed to go over in August, which is kind of the latter part of the summer. So we were looking at songs that really defined the 3 months, June, July, and August.
And if you listen to the show regularly, you know Niall is a stickler for rules, and this falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
Rules are rules.
She'd mentioned some earlier, saying too early in the year. So we gave you a final short list of four songs, and I can reveal how the vote is standing as of right now.
Although we will
leave it open on our Insta for the rest of the day if you want to have your say.
Like, we leave it open because it'd be nice to see our heads on the Insta.
Absolutely, don't want to delete that prettiness. You know. Okay, let's get a result. Currently in fourth place for Song of the Summer with 16% of the vote is Hozier and Too Sweet. In third place, I thought this might do better, but 17% of the vote is Chapel Roan with Good Luck, Babe.
Ah, poor Chapel.
In second place, it was our song, Sabrina Carpenter and Espresso with 28% of the vote. And it means your choice for Song of the Summer 2024, as it stands right now, with 39% of the vote, 2/5 of the vote.
Yeehaw! Ram the cowboy boots. Let's go, Landon. Oh, yeah. I sit on you.
So that's the song of the summer. I don't know if you agree or you disagree. You can let us know. 085 102 9103.
Beat Breakfast on Beat 102 103.
Okay, so Michael O'Leary has come out and said that the worst possible flight that you can take in terms of the people on board are the flight to my beloved Ibiza, otherwise known as Ibiza. And I fly there regularly. I'm going in a few weeks. Niall flies there quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been quite
Killian,
a few times.
Killian, have you ever been on an Ibiza flight?
Never. I've never been to Ibiza.
Ibiza, you're missing
Ibiza.
Out. Yeah. So we decided to go to the source this morning, aka my parents, Phil and Anne, right? And they travel at least 3 to 4 times a year. So they've seen
it all.
Okay.
They know.
So they have issued, I suppose, a little statement for Beat Breakfast and for Michael O'Leary. So I really hope that he is listening this morning. Here's what Anne had to say when she was asked about it.
On one occasion, I had just recovered from a broken ankle and was still on crutches. So I was going assisted travel. And because of that, had to sit at the back of the plane with a couple of other people who weren't too well. So unfortunately on that flight there were a significant number of very, very drunk people who were totally out of control and order, climbing up along the top of the seats, shouting, screaming, singing, and basically doing what they pleased, and continuing to drink throughout the flight. So the whole experience was really terrifying because we had no idea if how it was going to end and if they were going to fall over on top of us or where it was all going to go. All I can say is we were very, very relieved when that flight landed and we were able to get off. The other occasion was walking down the aisle on my way to the bathroom, and again there were a number of people on the flight who had been drinking quite a bit, and one of the girls in the company suddenly projectile vomited in front of me. So I was covered in a not very fragrant smelling substance and had to make a quick dash to the bathroom where I did my best to clean myself up. So not very pleasant experiences, and I hope we won't have to experience anything like that again.
My poor mum and dad. What did you do to my mum and dad on the flight? the poor people, they're only going on their holidays. Honestly. Oh,
I shouldn't laugh, but
I know,
the
but
way
she had
told it.
Yeah, but she had a broken ankle. Right, they were climbing. I've seen that now where they'd be trying to get out of control. Get up! I
woke up this morning. Beat Breakfast on Beat 102-103.
Superstars.
They walk in their bare feet.
Yeah. Coldplay arrived in Ireland yesterday. They've been everywhere. Done Leary, Grafton Street performances. Great buzz ahead of the first gig tonight at Croke Park, with many excited people on their way there.
Not sure that I'd walk down Grafton Street in my bare feet.
I've seen people whittling there.
Very
so
brave, wasn't it?
Whittling the street. Yeah. okay, right. We're just doing a little bit of Coldplay or no Coldplay this morning, because there seems to be a nationwide split in this as to how people feel about Coldplay. So can we start with the excited people first, just for a moment?
Yes, so we're going to go to our Coldplay callers this morning, and they're en route to Dublin, Lauren and Gavin. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
We're good. Now, we got a very excited message off you. So where are you at
Describe
the moment?
Describe the scene. What's happening?
Okay, so just left Waterford there now, and we got our coffees. We've got the breakfast place on the map, so we're just looking forward to it now.
Breakfast place, okay, very important that you get fed and you get ready for
tonight.
You're heading
pretty early, aren't you? Yeah. Like, what's the plan for the day?
Well, we'll have to stop at McDonald's, I suppose. Sure. McDonald's drive-through, and then we'll have to go for lunch, maybe a drink, and then we'll check in, and then we'll get ready and go. So we're making a day of it.
Ah, nice little romantic night away.
Yeah, very romantic.
Yeah. So are you both massive fans?
We are. We were in Bali last year when we got the tickets, so we were lucky we got them. But yeah, it was great.
And have you got to see them before?
Yeah, I saw them in 2017. They were brilliant.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
That's why I want to go, Lauren. Okay, thank you so much. We're going to
hang on there.
You stay where you are. We need to go to our no Coldplay caller. Not a fan at all, like our Killian and Tom. Jenny, how are you, missus?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. So you are not heading to Croke Park this weekend.
Oh, good God, no.
If they were in your back garden, Jenny, would you go out and look at them?
Close the curtains. That's how I feel about them.
Okay, well, strong feelings, right? So we're going to put you to the test. We've got a little Coldplay or no Coldplay challenge for you both. We're going to start with the Coldplay lovers, Lauren and Gavin. You have got 30 seconds, guys, to tell us what is so wonderful about Coldplay. Go!
Their album Head Full of Dreams, their song Everglow, the music video, Six You, a yellow clock.
Help her out, Gavin, will you? Help her out.
Gavin, are you going to contribute?
Gavin!
I don't know.
Anything about Chris Martin?
The lights of the show.
Lights.
Yeah, the vibes of the concert. Everything. I'm running
out. Lauren, you did really well there with no help.
Oh, God, that was very bad. But like, no help.
No help. And Lauren, I think you were more focused on the hotel room and checking in, were you?
Yeah, the drink.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all right. That's allowed.
Okay,
over to no Coldplay. You've got to tell us why you think they're rubbish in 30 seconds,
Jenny,
okay?
Jenny, can do this, girl. Go for it. Go.
Okay, it won't even take 3 seconds because I don't have much to say about them other than they're plain, they're boring, they're average. As I said, they just look like a common person that you'd meet in Tesco's. I'd be more impressed with seeing my local TD walk in my door at my first night.
Get that bad.
And there's nothing joyful about their songs.
Joyful.
They put you to sleep.
Thank you. Great job there.
Jenny, I think you and Tom would get on really well. Jenny, who's your local TD? That's a matter of
interest. Oh, Seamus Healy and Matthew McGrath.
Great men. Wow, okay, you both did really well, so I think there's travel mugs on the way to both of you for your defence of your argument.
Honestly, you stepped up to the plate massively. We will say, have a ball to Lauren and Gavin. Yeah. Enjoy every second
Thank
of Croke Park. Enjoy your night away. And to Jenny, we hope you never see Coldplay.
Yeah, I hope you never have to look at them.
So do I.
Yay! Have a great day, guys.
Thanks a million.
Have a great day. Can I just very quickly read a couple more? Yeah. It was the no Coldplays were actually kind of funnier.
So funny.
Alan from Tip says they're the musical equivalent of wallpaper. Brendan says, I agree with Killian. Listening to Coldplays like listening to elevator music. I can't wait for the doors to open so I could get out. And Connor says, if Coldplay were singing in my bathroom, I'd take a wee out the back. I have to agree with Killian.
God, people that don't like them really don't like them.
Breakfast with Niall and Show. Okay, so it's Thursday. It is 29th of August, and it's another big back to school day.
Yes,
if you weren't back yesterday, today maybe your day. Good morning to you if you're crawling out of bed for the first time for a new term. We're with you. We'll be with you till Christmas. We're the whole way through the season.
through the season.
Our term, isn't it? Term.
Yeah. Like, it's funny the way it goes, like, that there's such stages to it. But I put my little girl to bed last night, and I won't lie, like, obviously being a bit of an emotional week, but she's going into fourth class.
How did that happen?
And I was just like, oh my God. Because she said to me, I have everything laid out, Mum. I don't need anything from you. And I was
she's independent now.
I want her to be independent, but I don't want her to be independent. I went in four times to kiss her and she was like, okay, you've said goodnight. So she's going into fourth class and she said she was a little bit nervous because they've mixed up the classes.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and Tom said to me, what are girls like? Like, why would you get nervous? Like, you didn't have that probably, did you? Would you have gotten nervous about going back to school?
I think the only time I might have been a bit nervous was going into secondary school because that was a big change. I came from a very small class of eight people, you know, in primary school. Then all of a sudden we're going into this 70 in your year and
it's big.
There's ruffians that I wouldn't be used to.
Those lads.
So that was the only time I think I was a bit nervous. Other than that, I skipped into school on the first day.
No, she'd be fine, but he just couldn't get his head around the fact that she'd be thinking about like friends and the teacher and you know, he was like, just go on, like, what's it? But no. Yeah. Anyway, she'll be fine. Good luck, my darling. She's not up.
Isn't she?
No, she has everything laid out.
Yeah, she'll set. Yeah.
She's sleeping in her uniform like you did back in the day.
Did you do that? I don't remember you telling
me that. I can't believe, did I ever say that on the show? So I got caught. I wanted to get an extra 10 minutes in bed. Mm. So I went to bed in my pyjamas and then mum said goodnight and then I changed into my uniform.
You're such a loser.
I actually thought this was genius. And then she came in the morning, she said, what are you doing? Because she woke me up and there I was laying my John's Road school uniform sweaty. And she was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it reminds me of someone I knew who used to put their, I don't know, was it Rice Krispies or cornflakes? And put the milk on, put some cling film over it and leave it beside the bed so it was ready. But sure, everything was so soggy when they woke up the next morning.
Oh no, that's weird.
Just mank. Yeah. Anyway, if you're going back to school today, or your small one is, or your brother or sister, and you want to give them a shout out, we're here 085 102 9103.
Are you ready to go back to school?
Yes.
Are you?
I'd go back to school. Yeah.
Well, you're going to go back to school right now because I've prepared a little challenge for you two. You always go on.
Come on, look, it's 11 after 7 in the morning.
Niall, will you cop on? You knew this was coming. Like making out that, oh, this is such a surprise. I don't know what's going on in my own show.
Spoiling the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, but you don't know what's coming. So I have set a challenge. There's a lot of weird words in the dictionary.
Yeah. Okay, so we're doing English, are we? I'm good at English.
Yes. There's a lot of words, a lot of long words and a lot of funny words that don't make sense. So I'm going to give three each and I want you to put them in a sentence for me.
Okay.
And then explain what you think they mean.
And is there like a chance that we're going to know these words, or do you think this is like the first time?
One or two you could know.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first,
lady?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Shoulder lines, your word is Snickers Snee. Snickersnee.
Can you spell that for me, please, teacher?
It's spelled like Snickers, so S-N-I-C-K-E-R-S-N-E-E.
Snickersnee.
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 So,
an awful itch in me, Snickersnee.
I was in work yesterday and I saw a builder and he was working away hard with his hammer and tools and he was wearing his limited edition Snickersnee.
Oh,
okay. What exactly is it?
A Snickersnee is it's a designer version of a Snickers pants.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay.
You were kind of on the right track for a while, and then you detoured. It's actually a term used to reference a special kind of knife for like cutting out things in like real kind of fine settings. Like
she wasn't even close. She wasn't even close.
So, like the builder,
builder,
and I was like, is she going to go
builder
like,
with a knife? I'd avoid a builder with a knife.
Yeah, he might have to cut a bit of carpet while he's building.
Okay. Fair play. Good job. Right over to me.
Okay. Number one for you, Niall. Sticking with your theme because you like cats. Cattywampus.
Cattywampus. Ooh. Spell it for me, please.
Cattywampus.
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 Stephanie disease.
Cattywampus. I was in the nightclub last week. And I saw a girl with an awful dose of cattywampus. I have no idea what it might mean. Is it a creature?
No, it's a kind of a phrase.
All right.
Oh.
So it's to say something is either directly across from something. For example, Niall is cattywampus me right now.
Opposite.
Wow. Yeah, directly across.
Like, okay. That's such a fabulous word. Like, how do we not know that?
Cattywampus.
Okay.
Cattywampus. Right, we go again. Show your go.
Okay. Okay, this is where it gets tough. Because this is a long word and I don't even know how I'm going to pronounce it. Your word is subdermatoglyphic.
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 S-U-B-D-E-R-M-A-T-O-G-L-Y-P-H-I-C. Subdermatoglyphic.
Subdermatoglyphic. I believe this is something to do with the ocean.
Do you?
I'm getting a strong sense of the sea. And I was snorkeling in Lanzarote and I stumbled upon some sea creatures and a subdramatic lyphic. What is it again? What's it called? And I stumbled upon some
subdramatic lyphic.
I stumbled upon some subdramatic lyphic. It's a life form. It's a fossil. Some kind of fossil.
I'm thinking it's a beauty treatment.
It's the term used to describe your fingerprints on your fingers.
Oh, they're subdramatic lyphic.
The matrix. Subdramatic lyphic.
Okay. Subdramatic lyphic. Right, keep going.
I'm never using that again.
Okay, Niall. Sesquipedalinasum.
Go again.
Sesquipedalinasum. S-E-S-Q-U-I-P-E-D-A-L. I-A-N-I-S-M.
Sesquipedalinasum. Say it to me one more time, because you're not doing it right and I can't put it in a sentence.
Sesquipedalinasum.
That completely changed.
You're doing it every time. Sesquipedalinasum.
Yeah.
Okay,
go on.
I was out for a run yesterday.
A lie.
And my leg tightened, and all of a sudden I thought, damn it, I'm sesquipedalinasum. So, damn it, I'm going to have to get to it, Amy, because I'm sesquipedalinasum.
Nobody can say it.
No, what is it?
It's actually a term used for someone who has the tendency to use long words in everyday
sentences.
So it's kind of, it's very ironic in itself.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody can say it though. Right, one more each.
Yeah.
So,
oh no.
Can you use Tintin babulation?
Tintin babulation.
In a sentence, please.
So, Tintin babulation.
Yes. So, T-I-N-N-T-I-N-N-A-B-U-L-A-T-I-O-N.
Babulation. Okay. So, sometimes at the weekend, I like to hang out with Tom and we might get cozy and have some Tintin babulation. I don't know. It sounds rude to me. Is it rude?
I mean, if that's the way you do it, it's a noun and it's a ringing or a tinkling noise.
Oh, so if that's what you mean. Tinkling noise, we're all right. Sound gets at her. She'll be tinkling all night.
Yeah, we'll see. I think you should accept that answer.
Yeah, I'll give her a point with that.
Yeah,
give her a point.
I think I deserve a point.
But your last one is, I don't even know how to read. Triskaidy Cacophobia.
I know this one.
Oh, no
this
way.
This is actually more common than I think. Say it again. Triskaidophobia.
Triskaidy Cacophobia.
So it's a phobia.
Triskaidy Cacophobia.
Well, obviously, it's easy to use in a sentence because I had an awful triskaidophobia.
Yeah.
Phobia.
What right. is it?
Is it the fear of the Friday the 13th?
Close, yes. The extreme suspicion regarding the number 13.
Oh, no way! Good. Good job. That was one apiece.
Well, I think I was a lot closer than your Tintin babulation, to be honest with you.
Please do not take my Tintin babulation away from me. I will be using that word as I go through the day.
We're going to shine this year in school, hon.
We're
going to shine.
Thanks, teacher.
Yeah. I woke up this morning. Beat breakfast on Beat 102-103.
I am very much a what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours to a certain extent. So it starts with the obvious one, and no issue with this, a hoodie. Even if a friend was cold, you'd give them your hoodie.
Fair game. Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely not an issue. An issue, of course, is girls keeping them, but that's a whole other story. So next up, right, and this is where it starts to get a little bit bothersome for me. Socks. Would you borrow, would Tom borrow your socks?
Now, will
is
this a thing? Calm down with the sock thing. Like, I'm not putting on his stinky, smelly, like, athlete foot sock. No, not that he has athlete foot.
What an allegation.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not catching stuff from his socks. Like, you live in a house where your washing is going into the same machine and potentially, like, not today because I'm sockless,
yeah,
but.
She's in her sandals.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Toe issue. there's times when I'm sure I've got one of his socks on and I don't go around thinking.
Do you not notice a difference? Like, I like to think of girls in dainty little socks from Pennies with ribbons and flowers on it and fellas with like sports socks and grr thick socks.
Hey,
are
Niall.
They not very different?
Hey Niall, it's 2024. We can wear boys socks too, you know. We can kick ass in those. No, actually the little, you know, the like what a lot of people wear now, the runner socks.
Pop socks I used to call them.
They stretch to any foot.
Mm.
Yeah, because he's got a big foot and I've got a daintier foot as you would you like to
so,
say.
Yeah, yeah, so
boots.
Fair game. Swap.
Yeah,
swap,
yeah. Socks are like, as clean. I said, I am not going into his room and taking one of his dirty socks out of the wash basket.
Okay.
Yeah. All so right. Socks are fair game. There's no, I don't, no issue with that. I do a good wash, 40 or 60 degrees, 60 for his, and I know they're clean. Okay.
Domestos.
Yeah.
next up. Toothbrush. Oh, this is where now I really have some issues.
And this is,
I know it's love, and I know love knows
but
no bounds.
But you're swapping that stuff anyway. But anyway, what I will say is, right, I didn't realise that this would be a problem or a bone of contention. And I didn't see myself ever using somebody else's toothbrush. But I was at a loose end at some point in the last year. I can't remember because I've definitely said it. And I used his toothbrush. Mm. And he kind of flipped out a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be the same.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love you too, but I just think, and I know, like as you said, you're swapping saliva anyway.
Yeah, you are. Like it's all, it's all like.
I just don't want to be like, it's a bit of like meat in a tooth and it's on the brush, and then you have just no
bit of meat.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like you brush something out, a bit of dirt out, and it's.
I don't go around with like mint stuck in my teeth.
Gillian, how do you feel about the toothbrush thing? If you were staying over in a girl's house and next morning you had a big mouth on you and you were like, ugh, would you use a brush?
No, I would not. I have
the
gone,
finger.
No, I've just chewing gum or mouthwash, whatever you do.
Just water.
Yeah, exactly. Just there's been several times where I forgot my toothbrush going to friends' houses and I'd never be like, oh, I'm like, oh, shite. And then, I don't know. Mm. I would rather get chewing gum.
I was always told, I don't know who told me about the finger, but if you've ever forgot your toothbrush, that you just put a little bit of. I think it was my mom, because she was always paranoid about us brushing our teeth. And I think if you put a little bit of toothbrush on the finger and just, obviously, clean finger. And then you put
dentist
it in.
Approved.
And then you kind of just give it a. Oh, because I just don't think chewing gum the next day does it. Do you know what I mean?
It just gives you a fresher.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a bang off you.
I personally don't have an issue with the toothbrush, but then I stole his, not the other way around.
Yeah, if we asked him, it'd be a different case. Okay, and finally, and this is kind of the weird part of the survey, is they claim that men are raiding their partner's jewellery box in record numbers. 3/4 of blokes have admitted to doing it. 1 in 4 wear their partner's rings, 15% don their bracelets, and 1 in 10 opt for their necklaces. Please discuss. Has Tom ever said to you, me and the lads have to work for a few, might have a go at your necklace there?
What does he call my jewellery? He has some kind of name for my jewellery, like my bangles and my earrings, and he 100% that man is never gone down Wexford Main Street in any jewellery belonging to
him. No, certainly not those bangles.
No, I can put a bet on it. He would not be seen. But you know what Tom used to have when, this is just reminding me, when I first met him, right, he had the chunkiest gold necklace.
Really?
Yeah, like a big chunk of a
chain.
Yeah, a big chain, like big chunky.
And did you like it?
Chunky.
Is this why he doesn't have it anymore? Was there an operation put in place to?
It just took a little bit of time. We had a little bit of a chat, and like we just decided it was best for everybody if he parted ways with that.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates. Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
The Rainbow Bridge thing was a kind of new thing to me. I was only aware of it a couple of years ago when Fred died, and a lot of people made the comments. And for those maybe who don't have pets, the Rainbow Bridge is the idea of the pathway to whatever kind of pet heaven that dogs and cats may have, or whatever your pet may be. Now, Sho, you've had a difficult couple of days, and I know you just wanted to share a few words on it this morning.
Yeah, I've been doing this show for 3 years now and I don't ever get nervous, but my heart is absolutely beaten. But I always feel that I've been upfront and honest about everything that goes on in my life, the good, the bad and the ugly. So this is like just one of those things. It's a very sad part of life and of owning a pet. But we had to say goodbye to Lola on Monday, and we found out last week, and look, she hasn't been well for a while. I think I've said it a couple of times, but I think genuinely thought that she was going to pull through and bounce back to the little bubbly, funny dog that she's always been. So we did what we felt was the kind thing to do for her, and what the vet kind of said to us was that you want to remember her the way she was for all those years. So I think for me, as hard as it is, I guess that I have realised I had no idea how difficult it would be to actually like say goodbye to her and to like imagine life without her, because I think in some ways I feel a little bit guilty. I said to Tom the other night, look, God, do we, you know, you take for granted that, you know, she's always there and she's in the sitting room and she's lying down when you're watching telly and all those just little things that, like, I suppose I didn't, I never thought about the day that we would have to say goodbye to her. But what I will say is I and Tom and Eve and my mum and dad are so grateful that we had her, because she just brought, like, so much joy into our lives, like 12 years. And when we got her, I said to our friend yesterday, I wasn't, like, the happiest, and she came along and I just felt like she was my little saviour. She was my little pal. And I think pets have the ability to do that, to kind of just be a comfort when you need them. And yeah, she did that for so long, and she was just there through everything, like all of those, you know, sad moments, happy moments. Lola was there. Like I said, she sat with me when I was pregnant and I sadly miscarried, and I will never ever forget the fact that she was the one on the couch with me. It was like she just knew. And then when I was pregnant with Eve, she was with me. And when we brought Eve home from the hospital, she was just the best little minder. And she was our friend. And, like, I didn't understand or believe that it would hurt the way it does. So, but I am very grateful that we had her. And thank you for all the lovely messages. I don't know what else to say other than it's
heartbreak. When they're unwell, you will do anything. You will do anything in the hope of them getting better. But, and I know this with Fred, it gets to the point where you know that you have to say goodbye, and it's so damn hard. But you know that you're doing it out of the place of love, and even though it's going to cause you so much pain, and the pain will be there for a while, so you know that. But that's okay. It's because of the depth of love that you had with her. You know.
I know, Dylan. I know you've been there as well, so I know you know what it's like. But, It's do you know what? It's given me comfort to realise that it's okay to feel the way I do. Because I couldn't even sit in the sitting room the last few nights. I couldn't, like, it's just so strange, you know.
I do think that you touched on something there that is a real positive nowadays, that there is an understanding and acceptance of pet grief. That people are kind about it, that it's not like it's just a cat or it's just a dog, that people understand it's a family member, and that loss is like losing a family member. I want to read a nice message that we did have in earlier, and I know you had to take a while before you could actually even look at it because we had to do other stuff on the show. But there was a lovely message, and it came in from Louise, and she says, "Will you please pass on my condolences to Shona? I'm devastated for you and your family on the loss of your beloved Lola. I've always loved hearing her speak so lovingly about Lola. Losing a beloved pet is real grief. Don't let anyone tell you different. It can be so lonely grieving the loss of your beloved furry friend, because many people don't take the death of your dog or cat as real grief. You have an amazing support group show, and you'll get through this. An RAP to beautiful Lola. You've left paw prints on your mommy's heart." And you're so kind, Louise. Thank you for sending that.
Oh, thank you so much, darling. Thanks a million for all the lovely messages. I will say as well, I said lots of things about her. She was funny. She was mischievous. She was warm. She was kind. I didn't know that a dog could be kind, but mostly Lola, and we will miss even this, and I will miss explaining this to people when they come into the house. Lola humped the bed
all the time.
I mean, it was one of the most embarrassing
things.
She
was the horniest dog in Wexford. She really was. She was a constant horn on her.
And to try and explain that to people was like one of the most difficult things. It was okay if it was like a friend like you or Killian coming into the house, but like to explain it to someone that didn't know her. Like, but I will miss that dog humping that bed so bad. Thank you again for all your lovely messages and for understanding. Thank you so much.
Get up! I woke up this morning. Beat Breakfast on Beat 102-103.